The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for coming by the show. We're always glad to have you. It's going to be a good show. We're going to be talking about veteran issues. The whole month, I'm going to focus in on veteran issues. If you've been hearing my show for a number of years, you know that this is one of the hot topics I like to stay on. I served in the Marine Corps proudly, and we always want to make sure that the veterans are always honored. Their service is always honored throughout war, but also during peace. And we want to make sure that the service and sacrifice is always paid tribute to. Today, we're going to have some special guests. I got some people in the studio who are really supporting the veteran mission. And what you're seeing right now is that there are a number of corporations who are supporting the veteran mission and going very, very strongly with this. Some people from J.P. Morgan Chase. They started out, they were one of the founding members. I think they were the founders of the what's called the 100,000 Jobs Mission. And they were really an implementer of kind of getting a number of different companies. I think it's maybe 170 companies, but we'll get the facts. But a number of companies on board to say, we want to hire 100,000 veterans. And now the numbers have gone far past that. So I think they got to change the name. I think it's 160,000 veterans have been hired so far. But we're talking to them today. I have honored to have in the studio Maureen Casey. She's the Managing Director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs. She's at J.P. Morgan & Chase. And then Todd Bowers, and he is the Vice President for Global Philanthropy at J.P. Morgan & Chase. You know, welcome to Fed Access, both of you.
Thanks so much. Great
Thanks
to be here.
Us.
We're glad to have you both. You know, talk about, we'll get into both areas, because you guys are doing, one, you're giving money to different causes, but you got this 100,000 jobs mission where you're focused in on transitioning veterans, you know, people getting them jobs, helping spouses get jobs and things like that. Let's talk about that first in terms of, you know, the commitment. Why did J.P. Morgan Chase make that commitment and step out there to get this thing founded?
Thanks, Derek. And again, it's a pleasure for us to be here today. J.P. Morgan Chase founded the 100,000 jobs mission 3.5 years ago with 10 other companies. And it was based around the fact that service members were transitioning out in very large numbers, given the downsizing and drawdowns. And we realized and appreciated that service members were challenged. The unemployment rates were much higher than they are today. And so these 11 companies, the CEOs got together and said, we can do something to be helpful to these transitioning service members, veterans, and their spouses. So we started with 11 companies and a commitment to hire 100,000 veterans by 2020. We achieved that goal 7 years ahead of schedule. At the end of last year, hired more than 100,000. Jamie Dimon, very committed to this effort, challenged the coalition to the next 100,000 hires. So it's 200,000 hires now by 2020. And as you mentioned, we're at almost 162,000 hires.
So what's the next challenge?
So the next challenge is to really sustain the momentum. Okay. We have found that I think as the troops are coming home, there's a sense, anecdotally perhaps, that the war is over, the challenges are going away, when in reality, they're really just beginning for tens of thousands of our service members and their spouses. And so we really need to sustain the momentum.
You know, when you look at this, and I'm really happy to see this going, I mean, you know, as a person who served and kind of came out and saw the transition, what are people seeing the most in terms of corporations? Are you seeing a lot of people say it's a difficulty for veterans to make that transition, to understand the private sector and everything else. You know, speaking it from a banking culture and then also representing all these other companies, maybe and kind of getting that information and that data from those companies. What's the real data? What's the real deal in terms of the transition?
So I think you raise a really good point, Derek, that we call it bridging the gap.
Sure.
The difference is between the military culture and the corporate culture. And how do we, those of us who have not served, we can't forget that 99% of us have not served and less than 1% have. So we bear some responsibility to understand the skill sets that our military bring to the table. And they too need some help with understanding how to translate their military experience into terms that the private sector can understand. So I think you have hit on probably one of the greatest challenges on both sides of that. But one of the things that we're doing at JPMorgan Chase is to develop training programs for both our newly hired veterans and for our line of business recruiters and hiring managers. We have a course called Military 101 so that those of us who have not served can learn a little bit about the military culture, the branches of military service, the ranks, the culture issues. And then we have a course called Body Armor to Business Suits for newly hired veterans so that they can understand what it means to work in the corporate culture. What does matrix management mean?
Right.
How to navigate your promotional career.
Right. You know, when you talk about the dynamics of kind of Military 101, are you also seeing maybe Department of Defense also kind of get involved in this a little bit more to kind of say, we want to partner with 100,000 Jobs Mission or JPMorgan Chase and then kind of start in, and maybe we'll bring somebody into your corporation and help educate with this Military 101. Is that happening as well?
Absolutely, Derek. We have seen tremendous collaboration by all of our federal stakeholders. So Department of Defense, the branches of military service, the Army has a great program called Soldier for Life that is focused on partnering with the private sector. You have the VA and their e-benefits initiative and their Veterans Employment Center focused on veteran employment. You have Department of Labor Vets that is focused on partnering with the private sector to make these meaningful connections. So we've seen tremendous, tremendous levels of cooperation and coordination with all of our federal stakeholders on this issue.
Todd, let me jump to you real quick. You know, when we talk about philanthropy, you know, JPMorgan Chase, one of the biggest banks out there, one of the most popular banks out there, you know, in terms of the commitment with money and everything else, I mean, what's been the commitment that you have put out there that JPMorgan is not you necessarily, because you got the $20 million, but JPMorgan Chase has put out there for veterans?
So we've been a big part of the veterans community for a lot of years. It's only been under Maureen's leadership that we've been able to kind of organize and understand what our focal points are going to be. And the largest commitment that we've made was just in April of this year, where we committed $20 million to support the Joining Forces Impact Pledge. And that's right along the lines of what you're discussing, where we are collaborating with initiatives that the White House is looking at that are a good transition point to support service members and their families as they transition into civilian life. We hit on sort of three focal areas around financial capabilities. We look at housing needs that veterans might have, workforce development. We all know that these are major issues, but how do we get organized behind this? And that's something that we've been very focused on. The grants that we work on with nonprofit partners really are on a national level and then also on a local level. And the key is knowing that as such a large financial institution, we're in just about every community out there. And how do we engage on the appropriate level? That's really been kind of the main focuses that we've had.
So when you look at a certain situation, and you're talking about kind of maybe giving these grants out to different organizations who are helping veterans. And I know, you know, you mentioned kind of the workforce, employment is big for you guys, housing for veterans is big for you guys, and also kind of spouses. What are you looking at in terms of maybe somebody who you would say, we will offer a grant to you if they came with a proposal to you guys?
One of the things that we really try and do is identify the problem on the front end first.
Okay.
Where can we have an impact to solve it? We don't necessarily say, who are the groups out there that are doing X, Y, and Z? We say, let's find out where we can have the biggest impact leveraging all aspects of our company, whether it be through employee engagement, volunteerism, or just overall engagement with what we have available to us. Even our veteran employees. We have a lot of veteran employees that are always looking for opportunities to volunteer. So what we do is we look at the problem and we say, how can we address this? And a good example would be that veteran homelessness. Mm-hmm. This has been an issue that has been plaguing this nation for decades.
Right.
And it's only been in the last few years that folks have really said, you know what, it's time to address this. We started to see more Iraq and Afghanistan veterans becoming homeless. And we said, what is the problem that we're seeing here? And it was collaboration within the communities. You could find a veteran a home, but could you find them the training they needed for their finances? Could you find them workforce development programs? Could you find them access to their VA healthcare? It was a whole bunch of things that weren't lining up directly. So we partnered with an organization to be able to say in communities, how do we bring this continuity of services for veterans? And through that process, in just a little over a three-year period, we were able to house and stably house, I should say, 32,000 veterans.
Hmm.
And that number continues to go up. Just because we hit the mark, we're going to keep pushing forward until the end of 2015, because we want to be able to say that we've done as much as we can to try and eradicate veteran homelessness in our communities.
And we're going to probably hit this on the next break, but I want to talk about in terms of stabilizing and also the kind of job, because it hits two areas, right? You know, getting somebody the right kind of job and getting them the right kind of income to stabilize them. But then also, even with this homelessness problem, you know, making sure that they don't just get into a home and then eventually leave back out again and become homeless again. You know, where you talked about stabilization of a community. I want to talk about what the corporations are doing in order to ensure that stabilization, retention, and all the other kind of pieces when we come back. We're talking from the people from J.P. Morgan Chase. They helped found the 100,000 jobs mission. They just made a commitment of $20 million for veteran issues and everything else. They're on the front line of dealing with this in terms of corporate philanthropy, but also being corporate leaders in terms of hiring vets and making sure that people, you know, are making that transition the right way and then really, really supporting those efforts. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about veteran issues, one of my favorite topics if you've been listening to Fed Access for quite some time. But it's an issue I'm going to always stay on because it's always important that we always honor those who have given that selfless sacrifice to their country, to have gone out in harm's way when the country needed them the most, but also have been there in peacetime, you know, making sure the country is safe. We always want to make sure that we show that gratitude for that 1% that Maureen talked about, that 1% that's out there who's doing things that other people need to be done and causing protection, you know, making sure that we're protected, making sure that we're safe and sound in our homes and everything else. I've got some special guests with us today, people from J.P. Morgan Chase. They founded the 100,000 jobs mission. We'll find out what that website is. I have Maureen talk about what the website is and what's on the website. But they founded the 100,000 jobs mission, a partnership with a number of companies who are out there hiring veterans, who are out there really kind of pushing it and making sure that when people come home, that they have a job to go to and then also can find a job that they can stay, get stabilized, and then also succeed. But J.P. Morgan's also doing a number of things. Todd Bowers, he's here. He's in charge of their philanthropy division, and they're also giving a lot of money to veteran issues. And so we've got two people, the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs from J.P. Morgan, or Veteran and Military Affairs, either which way, I'm you know, you got to correct me. But we've also got philanthropy here as well, and they're doing a number of different things. You know, Maureen, you know, in this dynamic, and we kind of talk about it and give people one, the website, okay? But then also talk about what's going on in terms of the community. And also, I know like companies like J.P. Morgan Chase, you're all over the place. You're in Delaware, you're in New York, you're in another number of different places all over the nation. What's going on with also the kind of the community partnerships and everything else that you're doing to help sure, you know, make sure that veterans make that transition the right way?
Thanks, Derek. Yes, just on the 100,000 jobs mission, as I mentioned earlier, we started out with 11 companies. We're now up to 178 companies representing virtually every industry in the American economy. And you can find all of those companies on the website jobsmission.com. Profiles of those companies are listed there. In addition to that, there are leading practices for both employers and veterans who may be seeking employment. And I would stress that for those veterans that are seeking employment, some say that it's hard to know where to start in terms of finding a job. Go to jobsmission.com. The profiles of those companies are there. There are 178 companies that have made a commitment to hire veterans. And so you click on one of the profiles of those companies and it will take you right to the career pages for those companies. So I'd encourage both employers and veterans to go to jobsmission.com.
You know, you made a really, really important point. And I want to kind of, because we want to get as many employers as possible hiring veterans. You know, you talked about practices. You know, a lot of times people say, how do I start a veteran hiring program? How do I start doing that kind of stuff? Is that where they can find that? I mean, what have you kind of developed to help people hire veterans?
It's a very good question, but and I get that a lot. And I think it's really important that to start a veteran hiring program, it starts with hiring one veteran.
Right. Sure.
It doesn't take, we're very fortunate at J.P. Morgan Chase that our firm has committed significant resources for a veteran employment program, an employment program that's focused on the entire employment continuum. How do we source them? How do we hire them? How do we engage them? Once they come on board, we want to make sure that we retain them. But for companies that are just starting out on the 100,000 Jobs Mission website, there are some tools available to say, here's how you can start to build a program. Ensure that you have leadership commitment. Ensure that you have resources. Here's some good places to look for veteran talent. There are also a vast number of resources available, for example, on the U.S. Chambers Hiring Our Heroes website. They've developed an employer toolkit. The Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse University, they've developed an employment toolkit. You have initiatives like Blackstone that has developed an employer toolkit. So there's lots of resources out there. But what I encourage companies that are just getting started is to start simple, start small. And the most important thing is to figure out what are the right kinds of positions in your companies that are appropriate for veterans.
Sure.
They can do anything, but you want to make sure that you try to find the right fit.
Right.
Going in.
Right. You know, you mentioned something, a couple things. You know, with the 178, is it small, medium, big? I mean, you know, when we look at businesses, I mean, a lot of small businesses are some of the biggest catalysts of hiring, right? You know, hiring one, two, three people. But if a number of small businesses are doing that, then it increases the levels of hiring. What are we looking for in terms of veteran employers?
So with regard to the 100,000 jobs mission, and it really was born out of getting diversity of industry, diversity of geography, and scale.
Sure.
So most of the companies that are part of the 100,000 jobs mission have more than 10,000 employees.
Gotcha.
But Derek, you raise a really good point, which is more than 50% of veterans are going to go to work in small business. So we have to figure out how to give them the tools to make that meaningful connection to transitioning service members and veterans. So the next step for the 100,000 jobs mission will be to see how we can engage small business to help them connect to veterans.
Good. Because when small businesses succeed, then we all realize the nation succeeds, you know, because that's sometimes a big catalyst of some of our economic drivers right there, small businesses. You know, when we look at the dynamic, Todd, I want to kind of go into both of your backgrounds. But Todd, I want to hit you first. You know, you came out of the Marine Corps, and simplified to you, Devido, and in all of that, you came out of the Marine Corps, you know, and you were enlisted. You were like me, an enlisted man. You know, you served in civil affairs and other areas. You know, how did you make that transition to now where you're the vice president? I mean, people hear that now, they probably think this guy came out of an enlisted Marine and now he's one of the vice presidents at J.P. Morgan Chase. How did you make that transition?
Well, I'm not going to lie, it was very difficult. And I think it's difficult for a lot of veterans. Myself being in the reserves, it was sometimes even harder because I would leave for a year at a time and then come back and work on my career for a few months and then go back. It wasn't until I really understood that I was going to have the capabilities to be able to move forward in my professional career with an institution that was going to give me the tools I needed to be able to succeed that I really decided I was going to plunge into this. I was going to go head first. And when I saw what J.P. Morgan Chase was doing and I saw their focal areas and saw that leadership was involved, I said, you know what, I think this is the right approach and I think they're doing the right thing. It wasn't until I set foot on deck that I started to really see that, man, they weren't kidding about their commitment.
Right.
The training that Maureen has discussed, the ways to network with other veterans in the firm, all really made it inclusive and made it comfortable for me. Now my mission has sort of adjusted where I want other veterans to know that this amazing opportunity is available to them. Some of the hard points around transitioning, for me at least, was saying goodbye to the Corps. We all know that
right.
That's difficult
that
in any light. But it was also taking the time to really understand
We never really
that.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. I never really say goodbye, exactly. But it was also identifying that J.P. Morgan Chase is very similar to the Marine Corps. It's an outstanding brand.
Sure.
It's an outstanding large institution with
right.
lots of different aspects.
Sure.
You know, you've got your S1 shop, your S2 shop, your S3 shop in the Marine Corps. Well, we've got multiple lines of business as well in J.P. Morgan Chase, so the opportunities are endless. A lot of people tend to think that I'm a banker because I work at J.P.
Sure.
Morgan Chase.
Sure. Sure.
And I make it very clear and say, no, I actually work in global philanthropy. You know, I did math for Marines and
right.
personal finance
right.
for Marines,
yeah.
and that's gotten
that's
me
it,
this
right.
far,
right.
so
right.
hopefully
right.
it's working all right. But we also have a huge role for IT in the company.
Sure.
And we're in all just about all corners of the domestic United States and globally. And the opportunities that are available for folks can be compounded with some of the philanthropic work that we do. So getting folks ready for that transition to come into J.P. Morgan Chase through workforce development programs and things along those lines. Maureen, her team, and Global Philanthropy together, we've done $25 million worth of funding to support veteran initiatives external to the firm. And that's a huge commitment. That was before I even came on board. A majority of that funding went out. And it's really been incredible to see how that has helped service members transition in. I was at a Marine Corps ball this past weekend and met someone who brought up specifically with me how well known it is what we're doing, that it's not just from an employment standpoint, but it's preparing folks to make that transition in as well.
Outstanding. Marine, your background, you came out of helping a number of different issues, military issues, law enforcement issues, and other things like that. Talk about, you know, where did your commitment come to the veteran dynamic?
Well, as you said, my background is in law enforcement and public safety. I spent 10 years working in New York State government, governor's office, criminal justice and policy issues, and then spent 5 years working in the New York City Police Department as a deputy commissioner. I happened to be deputy commissioner on September 11, 2001.
Wow.
Part of the response and recovery efforts of the department in New York City. And fast forward 3.5 years ago, I was approached to lead this military and veterans affairs program at JP Morgan Chase. And what has been remarkable for me is that so many of the service members and their families that I have met enlisted in the military because of what happened on that day, on September 11th, 2001. Right. So having the opportunity now to provide them with programs and resources to position them for long-term success, I tell people all the time, it's a home run for me.
Right.
I have a great mission. I'm working for a company that wants to make a difference. I work with great colleagues like Todd and others who have taught me a lot about military service and the valued skills that they bring to the table. So for me, it really is the culmination of my public service career.
Right. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She is the managing director of the Office for Military and Veteran Affairs at J.P. Morgan Chase. We're also talking to Todd Bowers. He's the vice president for global philanthropy, also served in the Marine Corps. We're happy for both of you, you know, for your service with NYPD on 9/11, Marine Corps and everything else. We're honored that you're here. We're honored that you served in your capacities and you're doing what you're doing now. But we're talking to them about what's going on. How do we get veterans employed? How do we get veterans stabilized and housing? How do we get veterans and their spouses and get them transitioned the right way? We're talking about these issues and how we can keep this thing moving forward and make sure that no veteran is ever left behind when they come back after serving, no matter what they've done. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about veteran issues, talking about veteran hiring, talking about getting veterans stabilized, talking about the corporate commitment to veterans. We've got some people here from J.P. Morgan Chase. We've got Maureen Casey. She is the managing director of the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs. We got Todd Bowers. He is the vice president of global philanthropy. They're both from J.P. Morgan Chase. They're out there really supporting the efforts in terms of veteran hiring. They're giving money to nonprofits who are supporting veteran issues and trying to get the transition the right way, housing and other things like that. But it's really about this corporate commitment. J.P. Morgan Chase was the founder and one of the founding members of the 100,000 jobs mission that's been out there and really, really supporting veterans and making sure people get hired. They've gone well past 100,000. They're at 160,000 right now and going past that. And they've made another commitment for another 100,000. And now what we've heard today, some breaking news, they're going to commit themselves to small businesses and trying to get small businesses hiring veterans. So we're going to hold them to that commitment, but we're glad to hear that that corporate commitment is out there. You know, when we think about this whole dynamic of veterans, and you guys are partnering with Starbucks, and I was really excited to see this, okay, the Concert for Valor. You know, what's going on with that? Maureen, tell us about what's happening with the Concert for Valor.
So as you mentioned, Derek, we too are very excited about this opportunity. We've joined with Starbucks and HBO for the Concert of Valor, which will be on the National Mall on Veterans Day night at 7 p.m. Free concert for military for everyone. And an all-star lineup, Bruce Springsteen, Rihanna, Zac Brown Band, Carrie Underwood, appearances by Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, Oprah. It really is about how can corporate America both honor and recognize the service of our military and their families, and also to raise awareness. We started off talking about how we can sustain the momentum. This is one of those ways that we can raise awareness about what some of the challenges may be, who's doing good work in this space, and how do we keep people focused on the fact that We still have tens of thousands of service members that are serving around the globe and also that are will be transitioning out of the military.
That's outstanding. You know, when we think about this and we think about, are you seeing, I mean, you guys are up in New York and in D.C. and other areas. Are you seeing that the corporate commitment is growing? Are you seeing that more and more corporations who may have not thought about maybe a veteran program? Because everybody got concerned. I got concerned that, you know, as we kind of got out of Afghanistan, got out of Iraq, you know, we didn't hear the war dynamic as much on the news. I really did get concerned that there was going to be the momentum lost, you know. But is that true? I mean, are we starting to see a reshifting or rebuilding of the momentum again? Or is it just staying stable? Or what are you seeing?
I think that we've seen, if the success of the 100,000 jobs mission is any indicator, we continue to grow the coalition, okay, adding new companies every single week. I think that what we all as corporate America and as employers for the long term have to keep in mind is that although there are large numbers of service members transitioning out because of the drawdowns and the budget cuts, there's a natural transition out of the military under a regular course. Right. So that's a steady stream, right, of very good talent for us. And I think it's been a stream of talent that we haven't necessarily tapped into in an organized fashion. And so I think that companies are coming to realize that service members bring great skills to the table and are great employees for the long term, as are their spouses. And so how can we do more better in terms of recruiting them into our companies? And so I think that, you know, we in the 100,000 jobs mission have seen continued growth. It's my expectation to sustain that momentum by continuing to offer value to companies by sharing with them what works with regard to veteran employment. But there are a number of other efforts that are out there. I've mentioned the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Walmart has a great initiative. Home Depot has a great initiative. Blackstone has a great initiative. There are numerous companies, GE, that have made commitments to hire veterans. I think that the greatest challenge is for veterans and transitioning service members to know where to start,
right,
to make that connection.
Right. You know, I saw and this kind of goes to philanthropy, I saw on the Concert for Valor, and I think I even saw just a recent article that the Schultz Foundation, from Starbucks, CEO of Starbucks, his own foundation is kind of putting money behind this as well. And you're starting to see a number of people on the philanthropic side, you know, kind of starting to come in, not just the corporations, but their own foundations really start to put a lot of backing into veteran issues. Are you also seeing that in terms of where we're seeing the corporate dynamic, but are you also seeing people on the philanthropic side, are they increasing their efforts for veterans?
They are, and I think what's interesting is they're getting more strategic as well.
Okay.
Is that there's a lot of thought going into what are the areas that we can support in the most effective manner, given what your corporate focus is. So for us as a financial institution, we know that financial capabilities, housing, employment, these are places where we can have a huge impact. But then you have other organizations that focus on health issues. They're strategically poised to be able to assist with things such as post-traumatic stress, transitional issues regarding health overall. And so folks are really getting smart. We're also very honored with the Concert of Valor to actually have a committee that is looking at a lot of nonprofit partners that will be highlighted during the concert that are supporting veterans in very unique fashions.
Okay.
On that board is actually the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, and former Secretary Bob Gates, Secretary of Defense.
Right.
They are kind of the overseers of these organizations and who is going to be incorporated. And out of that, they are hoping to be able to raise some dollars for folks when they're looking for an opportunity to engage during the concert, to be able to divvy those dollars out to these institutions that are doing fantastic work. The underlying theme of all of this, though, is that, and you can read this in an amazing op-ed that Howard Schultz just wrote in the Washington Post, but saying, empower veterans, don't pity them. Give them the tools that they need to transition, which is something that has been ingrained in the psyche, I think, throughout JP Morgan Chase, that these are assets, that these are individuals that can have a huge impact in your community, that can have a huge impact in your business. They are something to be able to leverage and use. They're coming out of very diverse experiences, but they're all bringing something to the table. And while there's those, you know, myself included, having been wounded in combat, you know, we put bandages on those wounds and we keep moving forward. And that's really the messaging that they're looking for with the Concert of Valor. How do you bridge that civil-military divide and make sure that people know that these are very strong citizens within our communities?
You know, you just made something that I saw everybody write it down. Empower veterans, not pity them. That's mm-hmm. a very, very powerful statement right there, which I think is right on the mark in terms of what we're trying to do. And it kind of goes to the 100,000 job mission, and it kind of goes to everything that everybody's doing, that rather than saying, hey, we feel sorry for you and we feel sorry, because as a veteran, none of us want to be felt sorry for. We were proud for our service, you know, but you hear about all these things that are going on with the problems with the VA, the problems with this and the problems with that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so people start to kind of say, well, we feel sorry for the veterans. We want to kind of give them a handout. No, we're not looking for a handout. We're looking for something to say, you know what? I served. I'm back now. Go in and put me to work. Okay, yeah, I may have got some issues to deal with, but I'm ready to go back to work. Are you seeing, Maureen, are you seeing the dynamic in terms of corporation? We talk about, you know, a traumatic brain injury, PTSD, and other things like that. Are you seeing that companies are also saying, you know what, we want to address these issues. We understand that veterans may come back with some things, but that's not going to hinder us from hiring people.
You're absolutely right, Derek. We have not seen that as an issue amongst the 100,000 jobs mission. I think we need to be able to talk about it candidly. But I think one of the things you mentioned, post-traumatic stress, one of the things that it's an education issue. Service members aren't the only members of our society that suffer from post-traumatic stress.
Right.
There's large numbers of people that...
Law enforcement, like you.
Law enforcement, car accident victims... Sure. You name it, there's a variety of reasons why someone could experience post-traumatic stress.
Right.
One of the things that a lot of the research is demonstrating is that there's also post-traumatic growth, that people are actually better after a traumatic experience. But I think at the end of the day, it really is about how do we ensure that transitioning service members, veterans and their spouses, know the rules of the game. Let's level the playing field so that they can come into our companies, large or small, and position them for success and make valuable contributions to our companies, because we know that that's what they'll do.
We're talking to Maureen Casey. She is the Managing Director for the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at JPMorgan Chase. We're also talking to Todd Bowers. He is the Vice President for Global Philanthropy, served in the Marine Corps, was wounded, and we honor your service and honor that you were wounded and came back and doing some great things right now. But we're talking to both of them about what we are doing with corporate partners in terms of helping veterans get hired, helping them make that transition, dealing with post-traumatic dynamics. And you mentioned something real good, post-traumatic growth. I like that right there in terms of people saying, you know what, I came through something, but now I'm better. You know, now I'm stronger. Now I'm more empowered and everything else. We're talking to them about veteran issues today. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about veteran issues. We're talking to J.P. Morgan Chase. They are a corporation that a lot of us know already, Chase.com and J.P. Morgan Chase. You can Google them and find them. But if you go on their website right now, you will even see the veteran issues. You'll see the dynamic that they're promoting, the concert for valor. You'll see that they're out there promoting a number of different issues. They're the leaders of the 100,000 jobs mission. And you can find that issue, Google that stuff, and we'll get the site out there one more time. But they have been very much on the forefront. They're putting money, $20 million down, in terms of saying, listen, I don't think that's, you know, the end of the commitment, but they started the commitment to say, you know, I'm pushing people to commit more money and resources. But, you know, pushing that out there in terms of saying, hey, listen, we want to make sure that veterans are transitioned right. We want to make sure that veterans are housed. We want to end this homeless problem. We want to deal with the PTSD. We want to deal with a number of different issues and help veterans get, you know, on their feet, make sure they transition the right way. Don't pity them, but empower them, as we talked about today, which is a very, very powerful phrase that Todd was talking about. We're talking to Maureen Casey. She's the Managing Director of Office of Military and Veteran Affairs. We're talking to Todd Bowers. He is the Vice President for Global Philanthropy at J.P. Morgan Chase. You know, Maureen, you mentioned something I was really, really happy to hear, and I was surprised. You know, you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce. You mentioned the Hiring for Hero program. You mentioned Walmart. You've mentioned a number of different people. A lot of people think that there's a competition amongst corporations to do these veteran programs. But, you know, you just showed that right there. You know, we're not competing. We want everybody's program to get out there. What's the real dynamic in terms of corporations working on a number of different initiatives?
I think you hit on a very good point, Derek, which is that when it comes to veteran employment, the only competition is for veteran talent.
Mm.
We are all competing for superb talent that's transitioning out of the military or maybe already out, and also talent among the military spouses. This is a very unique effort among companies to set aside business competition and focus on a singular issue to level the playing field for transitioning service members, veterans, and their spouses. And as evidenced by the fact that the 100,000 jobs mission continues to grow, we have competitors in the airline industry, competitors in the retail industry, other financial institutions that are part of this effort. But we're all united behind the fact that we want to share what works with regard to veteran employment. Here's what works with respect to sourcing military talent in the pharmaceutical industry. Here's what works when you're trying to onboard military talent. Here's some of the things that we're learning about long-term retention or employee networking groups. So I think that it is a very unique private sector effort where the only competition is for the actual talent and not amongst the businesses with regard to our program is better than yours, sure, type of a thing. And we at JP Morgan Chase have been completely transparent with what we're learning and what we're doing. Of course, I think that the 100,000 jobs mission is probably one of the leading programs around veteran employment because we have managed to bring so many different kinds of companies together. We've launched the 100,000 jobs mission website. We've formed industry working groups and specialty working groups focused on unique issues within the veteran employment space. So focused on Guard and Reserve issues, focused on wounded, ill, and injured, focused on military spouses and families. But others are doing very well, too, and we can learn from them. Because at the end of the day, we're all focused on the veteran and their family. And if we stay focused on that, we'll get to the right place.
Right. You know, with this dynamic, you mentioned something in terms of maybe the research, and both of you can chime in on this. You know, you're working with Syracuse in terms of their institute that deals with military and veteran issues and family issues and things like that. What's coming out of that? I mean, was that a initiative to say, you know what, we want to get in here and partner with a university to start doing some research, to start developing unique programs? What was that about?
So 3.5 years ago, JP Morgan Chase did co-found the Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse University. First of its kind institute at a higher education institution focused on the post-service issues of veterans and their families. We needed to inform our programs. I think that, you know, you've mentioned there's sometimes can be a lot of noise in the military, right, in the veteran space. What, right, are the real issues? And Syracuse, in very short order, and the Institute has become the thought leader in this space, a center for excellence on these kinds of issues. So, for example, they just released a study a few weeks ago around retention. They partnered with an organization called Vet Advisor to do a study, a survey on the turnover of veterans in their either first or second post-service, sure, jobs. Right. And what we learned from that survey was that almost two-thirds of veterans are leaving their first post-service job within 2 years of leaving the service.
Okay.
So when we started learning about that and started asking the questions why, it helps to inform our program. Right. And so the Institute has really, they do everything from actionable research to providing programs to veterans and their spouses. They serve as advisors to the federal government. They're providing programs, training programs on small businesses right on military bases. So in just 3.5 short years, they've really become the center for excellence in this.
You know, with all of that, you know, and in that dynamic, you know, when we talk about kind of the government, and we talk about the dynamics, because, you know, I've done a number of different things. And everybody always says, why isn't the government doing this? You know, why isn't the VA doing this? And why is the corporation have to take up and step up on this? You know, what's the answer when you kind of hear that, either from a philanthropic, you know, standpoint or a corporation standpoint, where people say, well, we stepped up because of this? You know, maybe we realize the government can't do everything. Is that the nature of this?
I would say, Derek, that, you know, our military families come home to communities. They, okay, don't come home to a federal agency.
Right.
So we have to figure out how to partner with our federal stakeholders to improve and enhance the handoff. Mm. So as they are transitioning out, they're coming back to our communities. Private sector, small business, we're all in those communities. So we bear some responsibility to help improve that handoff and position them for success when they come back into our communities. So I think that the federal stakeholders, the military, Department of Defense, the VA, Department of Labor, they all have their role, but so too do we.
Right. From a philanthropic standpoint, I mean, what are we thinking about in terms of, are we realizing that government can't do it all, that we need to bring in additional resources?
We get that question a lot. A lot of folks, when I'm talking to them about some of the issues we want to address with our community partners, is, well, why does this organization even exist? Why is veteran homelessness even an issue when you have these transition programs in X, Y, and Z? I think it comes down to the uniqueness of the demographic of individuals that we're dealing with. Different conflicts, different levels of impact, different time served. It's very unique. It's not just a veteran is a veteran is a veteran. We all have sort of different issues that we may be facing and coming home to very unique communities that might be different in the way that the support is sort of provided. A veteran coming home to Washington, D.C. is very different than a veteran going home to Detroit.
Right.
And we need to understand what those impacts are and how we can have the community partners to hit on it. Maureen nailed it. From the aspect of, we know that we can be a tool in the communities to be able to help with this transitional aspect, to help the agencies, to help them understand what's available. Many of the grants that we include, that we work on, we always include language that says, make sure you're making them aware of their federal benefits that are available to them. We know that that's very appreciated from the different agencies because they say, thank you. We know that you're out there and you can communicate what we have available for folks.
Right.
So it really is a public-private partnership that only works if everybody's on the same page.
You guys talked about a number of different things. We've got to have you back, and we are going to have you back, you know, covering these issues. Maureen, I want you to give the websites real quick. I know the ConstructiveValor.com, but the Job Missions website, anything else you want to kind of let people know about?
Yes, thank you, Derek, for that opportunity. It is for the 100,000 Jobs Mission. It is jobsmission.com, and that is for veterans and employers alike in terms of the work of the mission and companies that are involved in leading practices there. ChaseMilitary.com is where you can learn a lot more about the programs that we have at JPMorgan Chase. We didn't really get a chance to talk about our home awards program, but the firm has made a commitment to provide 1,000 mortgage-free homes through our nonprofit partners. And folks can learn about that program there as well, chasemilitary.com.
Outstanding. We're going to keep this conversation going. This won't be the first time you're sitting in these seats. So we're going to have you back and continue to have this conversation because it's important. People need to know about these issues and people need to know about who's providing some help, you know, to veterans. It's not just the federal government. It's our corporate partners. It's our nonprofit partners and everything else. We've been talking to Maureen Casey. She is from the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs at JPMorgan Chase. She's the managing director. We're talking to the vice president for global philanthropy, Todd Bauer, served in the Marine Corps. Marine helped out with law enforcement in New NYPD, was there 9/11. They're both patriots. They're both out there making sure that veterans are given the honor and service and also the resources they need to succeed. Thank you for being on FedAccess.
Thank you.
You've been listening to FedAccess with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. FedAccess with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.